Father God, I thank you for Paul. And Father God, thank you for the preparation that you have given to him. And Lord, thank you for the way that you have already spoken to him through your word. And I pray, Lord, now that you would just bring your anointing upon him, that what will come from his mouth now will come directly from you. And the words that we hear tonight will be from you, and that these words will be powerful, full of truth and full of revelation, Father God, tonight, to speak into our situations and to draw us closer to Jesus. So Holy Spirit, fill this man with your presence. And as we listen to your word now, Lord, may we be attentive to listening to the most powerful word in the world, which is your word. And Father God, we long to hear more what your word has to say to us in our lives, Father God, to draw us closer to the Father. So Lord, come by your Holy Spirit now and help us just to be honest before your word. And help us to receive what it has to say to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
The reading for tonight is from Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah's commission. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me."
There's a sense, isn't there, tonight with the worship that we've had, that actually God is already speaking. I don't know about you, but I've felt God speaking to me, and I'm sure he's been speaking to each one of us. In the evenings at the moment, we don't have a series, and one of the things that we've been told was, come with a message that you think that God wants you to bring. And I was very naughty, because one of the other things that Scott asked was, could you let me know what you're going to say? I don't think I did that, did I? I do have an excuse, or half an excuse, and that is that other people have preceded me. I don't know if you can cast your mind back to when Elizabeth shared her word about Peter stepping out of the boat, and she challenged us, do we want to be sea walkers, or do we want to be boat sitters? Now, sea walkers are people of faith, people that hear the word of God and follow. And Peter heard his Lord Jesus say, come on in, come on to the sea, come to me. And he did it. Then Anton sang to us. I promise you, I'm not going to do that. I did promise my daughter I wouldn't sing. But he sung about love, didn't he? And he spoke about love. And so he talked about us being a people, or as Scott told us this morning, a community, an ecclesia of love, where we want to build one another up using our gifts, using our abilities, but at the foremost, to have love at the forefront. Then Connor last week basically pinched my subject. But I forgive him. He talked about being the person that you are in your place and to live in God's promise. And what did he mean by that? What he was saying is each one of us is called by God to be who we are wherever we are. For some, that means being called and giving our lives to a ministry which we call Christian. And to others, we have a ministry, I call it a ministry, where we go to work, paid work, secular work. But what we should be doing is being Jesus where we are. For others of us, we're not called to work at all. We either build up families, or we've done that and we're retired. And so Connor challenged us. And remember that picture of the seed, where it looks like nothing is actually going on when you look above ground, but the roots start to form as we allow the Word of God and the people of God to feed into us and to build us up. I want to pick up on each one of those themes and say that this is probably one of the most exciting commissioning services that there's ever been. Isaiah wasn't actually expecting a commissioning service because he was already God's man in God's place. He was a minister to the political elite of the day. He was what was commonly known as a court priest, and he would have been God's voice to the political leaders of his day. Now, if we were to compare him with somebody today, maybe the Archbishop of Canterbury. Now, we had the pleasure, those that went to Spring Harvest, of hearing him firsthand. And I have to say, he's a humble man. And one of the really, he told a really couple of funny stories. He told one of once where he wanted to get the kids out to school. And they weren't ready. And he got frustrated. Now, if the Archbishop of Canterbury can get frustrated when the children aren't ready to go on time, then maybe it's okay for me. But the funniest one was, he said, when he prays on his knees. And why does he do that? Because when he falls asleep, it's not too far to fall. Now, if the Archbishop of Canterbury can fall asleep when he's praying, there's hope for all of us. So the reality is, he's a man of integrity. He's a man that political leaders will ask his opinion. But more fundamentally, he may not have had a vision like Isaiah did. And he may have been called by the Anglican clergy. But in reality, behind that, what the Anglican clergy did was sought God. And it was God that commissioned Justin Welby to be our Archbishop over the Church of England and the wider Anglican Communion. Isaiah, this man of integrity, sees God, and at once he's filled with dread. He falls prostrate to the ground and he shouts out, "Woe to me, for I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Now, I don't know if I would have reacted the same. I probably wouldn't even be able to speak at the awesomeness of the Lord Almighty filling my vision. He sees God on the throne and he hears the seraphim proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy." And at that moment, as they spoke those words, Isaiah realized that God was just who they were proclaiming. He was holy, holy, holy. In Hebrew, When a word is repeated, it's used to be an emphasis. The angels weren't just saying God is holy. They weren't even saying that God is holy, holy. They were saying God is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. There is no other characteristic of God that's recorded in his word where it's repeated three times. We don't hear it said that God is wise, 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 or that he is strong, 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 or that he is loving, 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 of which he is all of those and more. But when we recognize that God is holy, who it is that we are serving, it cuts to our hearts, because when we mirror our lives against this God, we realize how short we fall. Or even how full we short. Oh, it's easy for me to say that. I said it the wrong way around, didn't I? I said it again. We realize how short we fall of the standard of God. God's holiness tells us that he is worthy of all of our praise. The word holy means set apart. He is different from his creation. In fact, nothing in his creation, although we are made in his image, nothing in all of his creation compares with him. He is just above all things, and all things are under him. There's a number of songs recorded in the Bible, and you might find it interesting that the first and the last song focus on the holiness of God. Interesting things you can find as you study. The Israelites have been taken out of Egypt by God under the tenure of Moses. And they said this: who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? Now, they could have sung about his providence, about his protection, about his power. But they chose in that moment to remember they served the holy God. Then later in Revelation, when the beast is finally defeated, those that had been triumphant sang this song: who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. There is absolutely nothing that compares to our holy God. And when Isaiah received this vision of majesty, he recognized his need. He recognized his sin. And he cried out, I am a man of unclean lips. I reckon at that moment he probably thought he was near the end of his life, because he had seen the glory of God in person. And the dread and the fear that was going through him, and what his mind was thinking, he probably thought, these are my last moments here on earth. But God said to the seraphim, because the seraphim wouldn't have done this on his own, go and take that coal and just touch him. And as the seraphim touches his lips, the seraphim says, your sins have been forgiven. Now, this is pre-Jesus. But he received the forgiveness of sins from God in that one act of being touched by that coal. And at that moment, he realized that his worship, his life, needed to be all about his God. No longer was he to serve his God in his own strength, in his own power, but he'd been given the opportunity to be a servant of God. Where he was fearing judgment and retribution, he received grace and mercy. And God promises us, each one of us, grace and mercy when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and mercy speaks of the Holy One who came to earth to live a perfect and blameless life for each one of us, a life that I could not lead. And he did it for my benefit. Why? Because he alone is holy. God alone is holy. And he came to die in our place, and he came to do what we could not do. He came to provide a way into the Father's presence. In dying and coming back to life, the perfect one has paid the price for every wrong that you or I have done or will do. And in doing so, Jesus declares us to be clean, to be forgiven, to be not guilty. We've been given an opportunity through no action of our own, but through Jesus Christ, to be holy. Peter picked up on this on his letter to the churches when he said this: prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace that is given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he, that is God, who has called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Peter is writing to the followers of Jesus to remind them that what God had said in the book of Leviticus, be holy because I'm holy. And because Peter had to remind us that we need to be holy, that kind of tells me that even though God has paid the price for me in Jesus Christ, I have daily a choice, or actually more frequently, multiple times each day, I can choose to be holy or to go my own way. Peter said, be holy because your God is holy. And then he reminds them later on that they were purchased by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, who was chosen not at random, but he was chosen before the creation of the world and was revealed in these last times for your sake. Jesus always had it in his mission to come. Even before the Garden of Eden, where God created Adam and created Eve, Jesus always had it in his mission to come for each one of us. And he is a holy God, and he asks us to choose to be holy and to walk in step with the Spirit. Peter denied Jesus three times. After the death of Jesus and his resurrection, Peter is restored by Jesus by receiving forgiveness three times. And Jesus did it in a very simple way. He met Peter where he was. He said to Peter, do you love me? Jesus said, yes. He says it again, do you love me, Peter? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Be the shepherd of the flock. Feed my lambs. I don't know if that time when Peter was asked three times, he realized what Jesus was doing. He was forgiving him three times for the three denials. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But later, I'm sure that the Holy Spirit would have brought that to his mind. And I want to say to you, maybe you haven't betrayed Jesus. Maybe you've just let him down a little. Maybe you didn't speak to that person that was sitting alone. Maybe you said you'd pray for someone and you didn't do it. Maybe God has asked you to step out in faith and you feel too weak to do it and you've been putting it off. As a leadership, we will call you to come and follow Jesus. We will call you to come and take up a role and a ministry and a focused task for a season and a time. But if we don't know Jesus, if we're not close with him because we've allowed our failures to block the path, it's really hard. Isaiah was doing his work. Peter had totally flunked it. The two extremes. Yet both needed a revelation of God. Both needed a touch of God in their lives to be commissioned for what was going to happen. I believe that God wants to use each one of us here. Who believes that? Who knows what God wants them to do? You can show your hands if you do. Are you doing it? There was somebody doing a single to me. But that's reality, isn't it? Sometimes we are. Sometimes we aren't. Sometimes it's a bit difficult. God says, who will go? Who will go for me? Isaiah, immediately having received the forgiveness of his sins and the revelation of the holiness of God, goes, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. And God says to each one of us, who will go? Who will go? Do our hearts, like Isaiah's, respond to saying, here I am, send me? When we know who it is who's sending us, when we know his authority, he just speaks and creation happens. Apparently, because scientists tell us it's true, stars are still being birthed and born every second of every day. You see, God has that power and that majesty and that separateness, but in Christ Jesus, he's chosen to introduce himself so that we can come close to the one who is holy. Not just close to him, but we could be called his children. And he calls us to step out and step out in faith. Now you might say, well, I want to step out, but what is there for me? Well, we've got quite a lot, haven't we, on our radar of what God is doing. We're privileged to have Jonathan commissioned by God to start a new work down at Grovewood School. We haven't commissioned you, Jonathan. We've discerned God's will. God has commissioned you. And he's going to go in trepidation and fear, but with the knowledge that the Holy Spirit is going with him and will give him the gifts he needs and the team around him. And he's going to go and do what God's asked him to do. Stuart in front of me. I'm going to pick on Stuart because he doesn't mind. He picked on me after I had a bit of a debacle trying to break bread at another church. He came with me at another church. I did communion and the bread wouldn't break. And he won't let me forget it. So I just put it out there, so I've stolen his thunder. But he and Catherine have said to God, here are we, send us. Now they don't know where they're going even. Isaiah knew, because God quite quickly told him, go and tell these people how bad they are. Now that's not a good one to be giving, is it? But he did it. But Stuart and Catherine are just saying, here we are, send us. Connor. Connor has just grown so much in 2 years. Well, not just physically, but spiritually. He is just exponentially off the scale compared with where he was when he started with us 2 years ago. That's not to say he wasn't in a good place, by the way, because he was, or we wouldn't have called him. But what he's done is said, here I am, send me. And now, at the end of 2 years, God is calling him to go somewhere else. And he's being obedient to that call. He's being commissioned. And do you know what? When we say yes to Jesus, our lives change. We grow. We don't stagnate. We don't find it difficult to do what he asks us to do. Why? Because we see him working. And we get excited because the next time, he might just do a little bit more. God says, who will go? Will we say, here we are, send me? We're looking to set up something at the Mega Centre. We don't know what that's looking like yet. We've got ideas. God, though, has the plan. He has the master plan. And what we want to do is to seek God's will. We want to pray into what is it you want us to do. Now, for some of you, it means you will need to go. And you'll need to say, like Isaiah, here I am, send me. And do you know what? We're going to send people out to Grovewood. We're going to send people out to the Mega Centre. And that's going to leave a little bit of space, isn't it? That's going to leave a little bit of a gap. But we're also convinced that God is going to work here. He's not going to go and work at the Mega Centre and at Grovewood and say, I'm not going to work at Rayleigh Baptist, at the Hub. Of course he isn't. What he's going to do is use those that stay to step up and to say, here I am, use me. And having space, God will equip you and use you and me to fulfill his purpose. Do you find that exciting? There is also, I believe, another group of people. And I felt challenged on whether I would say this or not, but I'm going to. I'm going to just step out. There are people that God says, I want you to go. To go where I take you, to be missionaries on my behalf. To go into the world and take the gospel. As a church, we're so rich. We're rich in spiritual gifts, but we're dormant, aren't we? Because the reality is, there's still 30 or 40,000 to be reached in our town. And it's 50 million in the UK. And I don't know what the numbers are in Europe, but the world's population is something like 8 to 9 billion now, and growing. And my understanding is that only about 25% would proclaim to be Christian. Less in this country, less in the West. But some areas, it's almost 100%. But there are places that God might call us to go. Either further afield in the UK, mainland Europe, Asia, Africa, the Americas, who knows? Even the Bahamas, if you like a beach. I don't like the heat. So I've always said to my wife, if we get called to mission, it's Scandinavia, dear. And she looks at me and goes, no. But in all seriousness, God calls us. Now, you may say, I'm too old. You may say, I'm too young. David was young when he was anointed as king, when he was chosen by God. He wasn't the finished article, but he knew that God had his hand on his life. Maybe you're young and you're thinking, I could never do that. I'm looking to the young people. And the reality is, without Jesus, you couldn't, because I wouldn't be here without him. But with Jesus, all things are possible. Just hold on to him. Maybe you've worked 30, 40 years and you're in retirement. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Moses was 80 when he was called. Hopefully he doesn't call me to march around the desert when I'm 80. I don't think I could do it. I don't want to march around the desert now. I told you I don't like the heat. But if God calls us at whatever age we are, and even in the middle, will he leave us alone to do it on our own? No. It's he who equips us. All he does is says, who will go for me? And he waits for the small voice to respond. Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Let's pray. Maybe God has stirred something in you tonight. I don't know. Maybe that's just my wishful thinking. But when God tells me to step out sometimes and to make a challenge, I quite often believe that he is doing something. And so I want to just pray for us now. Father God, will you please give each one of us here a fresh vision of you every single day that you give us? Will you show us more of your character? Will you let us see that you are indeed holy, 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 Lord God Almighty? Will you let my heart sing with the seraph? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Father, may that be a song of our heart. From the moment we wake each day to the moment we go to sleep. And Father, I thank you for your revelation. I thank you for your revelation of you in your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you that in Jesus you have paid the price that makes us holy in your presence. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of your great love and mercy. I thank you, Father, that as we acknowledge our need of you, you fill us with your presence, you forgive us for our sins, and you transform our thinking and our lives. And I just pray, Father, for those tonight that know that you've called them, that by your Spirit you will give them strength to say, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me.
Thanks, Paul. We're going to close with a couple of songs that just speak of that last part of the the reading from Isaiah, and the first one we're going to sing is All I Have and All I Am, and it just really speaks, I know you know the song, but it just really speaks very much of just offering ourselves back to Jesus and just doing what it is he's asked us to do. As Paul said, he will equip us to do the job at hand. And it says in the chorus, for unless you build this house, I'm building it in vain. So unless it's you that's doing the work in me and enabling me to do the work that you've called me to, there really is, we're working in vain. There's no purpose to it. There's no point. And we can scrabble away and fight day to day about doing stuff. But if God hasn't called you to do that or be in that place, then it's in vain. It says in the second verse, it's so easy to desire what others have. I am so guilty of this one. I'm a comparer. I think it's my creative nature. And I think we all do it. We always see someone, they're better at that. They can do that better. Or I've got nothing to give. We do. We all have something. We all have something to give. And so God can use that. So instead of seeing all the gifts, since it's so easy to desire what others have, instead of seeing all the gifts that you have given me, so help me fan the flame which you began and burn in me a love for you that all will clearly see. So let's stand and sing that together. All I have and all I am is yours. There's nothing that I have on earth that doesn't come from you. I lay aside my pride and worldly worth to serve you with